In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to part two of our three-part series on burnout. We hope that you have enjoyed part one. Part two is sure to bring you some additional insight and hear from our co-hosts as they share their own personal experiences that they've encountered as it pertains to burnout.
One of the ones that I think is big, and I think this is probably what is impacting that 18 to 30 age bracket, is the social media and this pressure and expectation of, you watch some of these, you know, people put their whole lives on.
Yes.
But what we have to remember is we're just getting the highlight reels. Exactly. Like, we're getting the trailers. What we're not seeing is the entire story. We're not all seeing the mess and the burnout that's behind that. And so there's this, we compare ourselves to what other people are doing, and we're just like, oh, I should be doing that. I need to be better. I'll never forget, a mutual friend of ours used to tell me to do the senior exit interviews with the high school seniors. This was before my kids were seniors. And I would sit in there, and these kids would bring these portfolios of all of the stuff they did. And all I could think of was like, oh my gosh, I've not had my kids do enough stuff. Oh my gosh, my kids are, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Oh my God, they're not going to succeed in life. And I'm just like, but that's where it put me. So I think social media does that to not only us. When I see what my friends' kids have achieved, and then I look and I'm like, oh my gosh, like we compare, and we're like, oh my gosh. And I think that that puts so much pressure. It makes us feel burnout because we're like, I should be doing more. And then it puts us in that always on culture, because I'm like,
absolutely,
I'm doing more. I should be doing more.
And it's so wild, Pam, because I also participated in that senior high school senior interview process before my children were seniors. Yes. And I had the same thing. I was like, oh my gosh, I had not prepared them to be successful in life. What is happening?
Exactly.
And then I had that realization, because I can, fortunately, like, both of my girls are fairly transparent in terms of like where they are emotionally. And so there was no need for me to add the pressure, because they put the pressure on themselves when they were, like you mentioned, when they're comparing themselves to their peers, when they're just looking at like the guidelines in terms of what they need to do in order to be accepted into a college, if that's what they were doing, or even just taking that step out to, we like to call it adulting 1.0.
Yes. And
then you gradually graduate to 2.0, and then, you know, whatever level you want to adult at, where you land.
Yes.
But when you're taking those steps, they have their own pressure that they're putting on themselves. So I took that as a message of, you know, I need to step back. This is their journey. They're really going to pave the way in terms of where they want to go and how they're going to get there. But if we're not cautious about that, we could be adding that external stress to them.
Exactly.
Where they already have stress.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
So we can be adding it to ourselves. We can be adding it to our children. And so, being very cognizant of that. And I try to be very careful not to get too wrapped up in the social media piece of it, because it is very easy to go down that rabbit hole. And I think, you know, when we think about burnout and getting caught up in all of the stuff that's going on in the world that we have zero control over, I don't watch the news. I haven't watched it for years, and I really don't miss it. I don't miss the negative commercials. I don't miss the negative news. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. They're gonna find the negative. That's what sells. That's our that's our world.
Yes.
So just being very careful about that. I'd like to talk about, because we talked about 77% of employees have burnout. Let's talk about some of the things that can cause burnout in jobs, because or in organizations. I know I've gone through this. And so there's quite a few of them. I used to be in the restaurant industry before I got into real estate. So in my past life, and there were oftentimes I would work like 14-day shifts. And some of these shifts were 12, 14 hour days and I was on my feet. So excessive workload is a big factor. I think we see it in our industry with people in leadership positions, yes, where just more and more gets layered on these leaders and they just get this workload to this point where they are so overwhelmed, they never feel like they're caught up, yes, which is like just leading them down that path of burnout in such an easy way. And I think that's why we see such high turnover in leadership positions in our industry, right, and probably in a lot of industries. What are some other workplace ones that you can think of?
Well, there's a ton, but I want to talk about the excessive workload because I see that so often, yes, and I continue to hear about it. You know, you and I, we're independent contractors, but we do a lot of work with organizations. And yes, when I see, you know, X person has left a position and they just dissolve the position. And then the statement of, and the action is, well, you know, Pam can handle it. So let's just give it to Pam. And yes, what I often hear, like from the individual that's absorbing that work, their automatic response typically is, well, I'm happy to do it, but you're going to have to adjust my pay. I'm going to challenge folks, like it goes beyond that, right? You're looking at potential of having like a tremendous workload that's going to impact your everyday life, how you show up in that organization, 100%. In that company. And so it's not just simply a title change or a salary adjustment. I mean, it's something that is going to impact every other area of your life as well. Yeah. So doing that reflection, will these additional responsibilities push you over the edge? And here's the thing, you guys, you don't know until you're there, right?
Exactly.
So you realize it after you're spiraling into burnout and you've just accepted this new role. So
yeah,
I think that is something that we're seeing a lot of. And I know that, you know, when, if you're an employer, that we, yeah, have a lot of challenges when we're looking at human resources right now. I understand that. But just being sensitive to that, if you are in that role where you can identify an additional person to take on a role or you're allocating work to someone, yeah, else, be sensitive to what your employees are going through. Because as Pam, yeah, shared, 77% expressed, yeah, that they had some form of burnout. I think that's huge. The other piece that I think, just because of the role that I'm in, is seeing, I'm going to put these, actually they go hand in hand, is poor leadership or lack of leadership or, yes, lack. So yes, I should, yes, say lack thereof or poor, yes, leadership. When you look at the leader of the organization, leaders of the company, what I'm seeing, and I think that this is, again, definitely impacted by how quickly information is transmitted now, that we often see leaders that change their leadership style and the direction of the company as the wind blows. And,
yes,
employees or individuals that are working alongside you don't have time to adjust to that, right? And so really taking a step back, and again, this is a different podcast, but when we're talking about leadership, like you've got to paint the picture for the direction that the organization is,
right,
going, not just simply saying, here's where we are. And, yeah, so when we have like those poor leadership styles or poor leadership qualities of individuals that are serving, it can be so detrimental, not just to the organization, but to everyone else that's working there as well, because they have that uncertainty every single time they walk into the office or they sign up, you know, sign on,
yeah,
to go to work. And that makes ultimately the work environment pretty toxic.
Yeah.
And I'm like 100%. Bored at the toxic, yeah, work environments that I'm hearing about.
And we've talked about that, you know, what the four needs of people are is, one, they want certainty. And especially in the environment that we are in today with what's happening globally, economically, yes, in industry, people need to have certainty. They, yes, also, they need to feel significant.
Yes.
So if you are throwing more and more and more onto an employee, onto one of your leaders, and they don't feel like they're significant, like you're not, mm-hmm, listening to them saying, hey, I need help,
yes,
or they don't feel like they can ask for help, that's a problem. They need to feel like they've got some freedom to say,
yes,
look, this, I can't take this on too, or,
yes,
if I take this on, I'm going to need the commitment and the support from somebody else. And then the esteem, feeling like we're part of something bigger than ourselves, you know,
yes,
being part of an organization that they feel like is making a difference. And,
yes,
so those being those core things, I do want to go back to the overwork thing, because if you think that your health is worth more money,
exactly.
I fell into that trap where I was asked to take on more. I initially said no. And then somebody was like, oh, you can totally do it. And so I said, okay, I guess I can do it. So I said yes, but I said, I'll say yes, but I need the support from by this and this.
Yes.
And I was promised that support. The support didn't happen. So then here I was in this new position. Yes, I was making more money. And then I was again moved into another position, tacked on more, and there was no more support. And so then I was just thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner until I got to this place where my blood pressure was now high. I had gone to a dentist appointment and my blood pressure was 158 over 109.
Oh my gosh.
That's like stroke zone. Like the lady thought something was wrong. This was at a dentist appointment.
She's like, now the machine is broken.
Yes. I know it's stressful to go to a dentist, but it ain't that stressful. And she's like, you know what? Maybe something's wrong with our blood pressure machine.
Yes.
But she did it and it was the same. And I'm like, oh, I, you know what? I am not going to survive cancer and drop dead of a heart attack for a job. Right. And so that's when, and you know this, that's when I decided to walk away from that position, because I'm like, this is a toxic position where I have stretched myself so thin that I was working 7 days a week and it was at the detriment of my health. So I was so burnt out and I allowed myself to be burnt out week after week, month after month. And it was 9 months that finally my body said, all right, if you don't do this now, something's going to happen. It's going to be a stroke or a heart attack. Yeah. So you don't want that to happen. You might listen.
Make some changes. You've got to make some changes.
And it was a huge, scary change to step away from a good salary and to go independent contractor. But you know what? We can do it.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's the thing, Pam, like in witnessing that, I mean, you say yes and you say yes, and then you look up and you realize, well, shoot, I'm like actually doing the work for three or four people and my family hasn't seen me and my blood pressure is through the roof. And had you not gone to that dentist appointment, you would not have known. Like that's the hard part, is that you were experiencing burnout and you were probably experiencing the symptoms of burnout, but it oftentimes we dismiss it, right? It's like, oh, it was just a heavy week. Next week will be better. Oh, it's okay. It's a busy month. Next month will be better. And then you just hope and pray that you make it to 6 months down the road, because you truly are working at the detriment of your own personal well-being.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So something huge. So we have talked a lot about what causes burnout, where we see burnout, how it impacts our resiliency. So let's talk about ways that we can things that we can put into place to try to minimize, or I'm not going to say completely prevent it, but try to minimize our burnout when it happens, so that we can hopefully, you know, not get to these places like where I got to, where I was very close to having something that could have been very detrimental to my health, to my family. So let's talk about that a little bit. And I think the biggest one, and I think we probably talked about it on every single one of our podcasts, which is implementing boundaries.
100%.
And I think, again...
No, let's say it again. Or can we be a broken record? Boundaries.
But I will say, I think I mentioned this in another podcast when I was talking to a friend, and I couldn't remember who it was. It's Beth Killen, who is an amazing human, who's my accountability partner. She's the one, she was preparing for a presentation, and she talked about expectations versus boundaries. She said, when you have to set boundaries, it's because it's too late. Like you've let things go too far. Setting expectations is where you want to begin. So let's, instead of boundaries, we're going to do a new word. Let's talk about expectations. How do we define like realistic expectations for our family, for our bosses, our career, for our clients, for our friends, for everybody, so that we can keep ourselves out of that burnout stage.
Yeah. I look at expectations as something that's living and breathing, right? It's mm-hmm. it truly transitions with the season that I am finding myself in. And the reason that I say that is that I like to look at setting expectations for all 8 areas of my life, right? So there are 8 key areas when you look at the wheel of life, and that includes relationships, finances, career, fun and leisure, friendships. I'm going to forget some. Look it up. The Wheel of Life, it's out there. I'll try to add a link to it in the show notes for you to take a look at. But I like to set expectations because in each area, because at different seasons of my life, I'm going to be focused on something different. When my children were at home, family was very important to me. So my expectations in terms of how I was showing up, I wanted to be there for all sporting events. I was going to be there for all orchestra concerts. I wanted to be there for graduation and hosting the graduation party. I wanted to have the house where the kids came over and they hung out. And I was able to do that. But as a result, my career looked a lot different.
Yeah.
I was going to give you 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock pretty consistently. And you could have me 100% during that time in terms of my career and work and what that looks like. But that would allow me or afford me the opportunity to be there for my kids. When they were significantly younger, I wanted to be there when they got home from school. I had the afternoon snacks. I made sure homework was done. Those were the things that were important to me during that season. As they got older, that looked different. And so that's why I say expectations for me are living and they live, breathe, and look different. But within each of those categories, the expectations are built around one piece and one piece only. And that goes back to my core value. I'm only going to say yes to or commit to things that bring me joy. Yeah. And if it does not, or it teeters on, like it could bring you joy, if it turns out this way, it's a no. Yeah. It has to 100% fill my bucket because I know that I'll be able to show up 100% to be present and there for whatever it is that I'm saying yes to. So that's how I truly set those expectations and or boundaries, I guess I should say. And I think sometimes we need boundaries because we may have found ourselves where we've said yes to some things and we realize we want to back out of this or finish it and not ever say yes again. It's okay to do that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree. It's so interesting you said that because I agree. Like when my kids were little, I had very clear expectations that I got to work at this specific time because I always dropped my kids off. I was always there after school. I coached soccer. I volunteered at the school every Friday. So it was all about that. But then as the kids get older and they need less and less, what did I do? I started filling it in with more work and more work and more work instead of more stuff, just focusing on, okay, well, you used to work specific hours because of the kids. Why not keep those specific hours and maybe do some stuff for myself? But I didn't do that. So I think that's really interesting. And I do love that. Here's where I wrestle is because just like you, I don't want to say yes to something that I'm like, that's not fun. It doesn't feel good to me. But so much stuff is coming into my world where I'm like, absolutely, I love to teach. I would absolutely love that. So how do you say no to something that does bring you joy? And I think that's might be where I wrestle because people will ask me, oh, will you speak at this or will you teach? I'm like, I love to do that stuff.
Yes.
How do you say no to the things or set the boundaries or expectations with things that do bring you joy? Any thoughts on that? Because I think that's a hard one that I wrestle with.
I would love to. And I actually just had this conversation yesterday with one of our listeners because he brought it to my attention that he is an avid listener. He listens to our podcast every day in the car or every week in the car. He listens to all of the episodes. And he was reaching out on behalf of one of our local real estate affiliate associations here in Colorado. And they were putting their lineup of speakers for their annual business event that's coming up next month. And I was over the moon, elated and excited. He said, it's everything. It's right. You have the insight and knowledge in terms of business and what we're looking at in terms of our industry. And we'd love to have you come and share with our membership. Great. Fabulous. That is a hands down yes. He gave me the date. I said, I'm already booked.
Oh no.
That's the hard part, right? So I am a hands down yes. And here's where I left the conversation. I said, if anything should change in terms of the date of the event, please reach out to me. I'm 100% in. I support the organization. I support what you're doing in terms of what you're wanting to deliver in value to those that are going to be in attendance. And I know that I have the skill set to deliver that. So those are kind of the things that I always look for. Now, it may not work this year. And so maybe it becomes something that works at a different time in the year. But that's really because old me would have said, I can adjust my travel plans and I will be there.
I'll figure it out.
I will make a way to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so that is when I start to compromise my boundaries. And so that's how I have learned to navigate through it. And that's just me, my own personal boundaries that I'm setting, or at least what I'm trying to set for myself moving forward. Again, progress, not perfection, but that's where I am. And it's what works for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, you know what's interesting? Because I was thinking about this weekend that we had planned. If this had been a work weekend where I had made a work commitment, I was trying to ask myself and wanted to give myself an honest answer. I can't really give an honest answer. Was if this was a work event, would I have still gone? And I don't know. I don't know.
That silence is me thinking. I'm trying to think. I'm posing the question to myself. I'm like,
exactly. Because this was just a group of friends getting together to do business planning.
Yes.
It's okay canceling it to take care of my health. Because I was like, I can't do that. But if it was for a work event where I might be letting somebody down.
Exactly. I know the answer to that.
I know the answer to that for both you and I. Yeah, we would have done it. I would have sacrificed my health and just toughed it up. Yes. I knew I was sick when I got home on Wednesday. Yeah. I had 9 calls I had to do on Thursday. I should have canceled those calls and pushed them a week out and said, guys, I am sorry, I am sick. Instead, I showed up and did 9 calls with 102 temperature, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm going to call it out because I would have done the same thing. So it's not, I'm not saying this from a place of judgment of you, Pam. So there were a group of us that were getting together to do business planning, just to paint the picture for everyone. And in our group chat, one of the other ladies had a family member that got sick and then was uncertain in terms of their health. I think there were travel hiccups, that popped up. And then you, Pam, that had the challenges with your health, so not feeling well.
Yeah.
And I would just like to, full transparency, whenever there are group chats, I usually just scroll to the bottom and look at the recap. And so I didn't see these 45 messages going through. So I was like, oh, shoot, what did I miss? Or did we cancel something?
Like, what happened?
But here's the thing. Your recommendation. So you posed the question to the group, if I recall correctly. Should we reconsider having this since we have all of these factors? It was not, in my own observation, because you weren't feeling well that you put that on the table. It was because the other women were having challenges that you made the recommendation.
Yes. And secretly, I was like, please let somebody else cancel so that I don't have to be the one that doesn't go and I miss out on what happens.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my gosh, you just threw me under the bus. I threw myself under the bus.
I would have done the same thing.
I know, we were. We're the same people. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
Progress, people.
That's a big piece. And here's the thing, setting those boundaries. And here's the thing though, Pam, like baby steps or not.
Baby steps.
You were able to set those boundaries, even though it was based off of the needs of others, because we're always serving others, right? So even if it was off of the needs of others, you were still able to set those boundaries for this trip. But I don't think the timing could have been more perfect for the series of events that happened for this weekend and you getting ill. I mean, I want you to get better.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Thank you. Yes. No, I totally agree. So setting those boundaries, I think communicating, that has to do with the expectations, making sure that we're communicating with people. Yes. The next one, which is probably the one that I have the hardest, I actually am getting a lot better with this, is saying no. And I know that a lot of us have an issue with saying no, but I'm kind of in the place where you're at now, where I used to try to move stuff around, fit stuff in. Yes. Now I'm very much, I look at it and I said, unfortunately, I'm not going to able to do it. Yeah. But if you don't feel comfortable saying no, you know, just start with, you know what, let me look at my calendar and get back to you.
Exactly.
If you don't feel comfortable with it. And then you can respond in a text or an email and just say, look to my calendar. Unfortunately, I'm unable to commit. But if this is next year is something that would maybe come up again, this opportunity, please consider me. Just try to get me, you know, maybe more notice next time.
Advance notice. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that that's a big piece. Like when you, and if you use that, you know, response to give yourself a little bit more time. Yeah. Also, not just simply look at your calendar, do that core values check. Like, does it align with where you are? Is it going to make you feel fulfilled when you, if you say yes to this? And then also like look at bigger picture. If I say yes to this, let's just say it's within the next week or 2 weeks or a month from now, what all do you have in terms of all eight areas of your life during that time? And is it going to be a thing that pushes you over the edge to start to spiral into potential burnout? Because it's more than just that time block being available. It's like, what else is going on in life during that time?
Yeah. And like for you and I, it's not like we have one job.
No.
So you and I are single moms, we're coaches, we speak, we teach, we sell real estate, we volunteer for leadership, and there's probably five other jobs that we do too.
100%.
So we have to look at all of those components to make sure that, and I like Clara had talked about it, you know, does this make business sense? And if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to? I think that can go with an overarching for your entire wheel of life. Yes. Does this make sense for my life right now?
Yes.
If I say yes to this, what energy am I pulling away from? What other area of my life will I be pulling my energy away from? Is it from my relationships? Is it from my spiritual pursuit? Is it from my self-care? Is it from, you know, fill in the blank?
Yes.
Because I think if we put everything that we say yes to through those two filters for our life, it can help us set some of those better boundaries so that we make sure, gosh, if I say yes to this, that's taking way too much time away from me being able to do self-care and spend time with my kids or with my friends or fill in the blank, whatever that looks like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that piece.
Yeah.
One thing that I use, Pam, in terms of like, you know, dealing with or navigating through burnout to navigate through it. And I'm going to be completely transparent with all of our listeners. I had to have that hard conversation with myself because I have slowly slipped away from this practice. But I recall, and I recall this when you and I were accountability partners too, the first thing that I would do when I went into business planning season, I also coach my clients on this, is to set your time away from the office first. Like those are the hard dates that go into your calendar first.
Yes.
And
so
looking at 2024, we're finding ourselves quickly approaching business planning season right now. And so as you're looking at what you want to accomplish and achieve in 2024, the first thing that you need to identify is what vacations or time away for yourself are you going to take throughout the year? There was a point in my life where I would sit down and do something every quarter. So every 12 weeks, I needed to do something that separated me from my business. And that was like the recharge that I needed to keep going for another 12 weeks. I've heard this model in a variety of ways. I've heard folks that can only go 4 weeks strong and then they are 4 weeks strong, 6 days a week or 7 days a week. And then they take 2 or 3 days off.
Yeah.
I was a 12 week strong and I'm taking a week off. And that week off looked different. There were weeks off where it was just family vacations. There were weeks off where you and I were taking time to do planning. Or there was just weeks off where I was exploring new parts of the world. But either way, I clearly identified before we got on to January 1, here are the four things that I'm going to do that are non-work related.
Love it.
And I'm going to admit it. This year, that did not happen. Yeah. And I'm already seeing a challenge of it happening in 2024. Because my schedule is already getting booked up. And so I've given other people the opportunity to take control of my calendar before I've taken control of my own calendar.
Agreed.
And so I'm committed in front of everyone that's listening to make sure that 2024 looks different, because I need that so I don't slip into burnout. We hope you've enjoyed part two of our three-part series on burnout. And as you've heard, we all find ourselves in that place at one point or another. What's really important is understanding how we're going to respond when we are starting to experience stress that could lead us to burnout. Join us for part three as we give you some additional tools and resources that you can use should you find yourself experiencing burnout. We'll see you soon. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it, and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.